Let's see if we can step on some toes tonight, amen? I'd like to step on toes. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and open them to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to look at a couple of verses right here. I can promise you, and I'm being very serious here, this is not a very long message at all, but hopefully it'll give you something to hide into your heart. It still is 3 points, so you're not getting away that easy, but it's not a super long message. And as long as I don't get into some rabbit trails or get distracted about omelets and six egg omelets or whatnot, we'll be okay. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2, look with me as I read two verses, verses 3 and 4. God's word says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Brother Dave, would you open us in a word of prayer right here, please? Amen. Allow me just a moment to ask you this simple, yet for some of you, very difficult question. A simple but very difficult question. What have you done for God? What have you done for God? My friends, think about this awesome fact. God never gives up on us. God never gives up on us. And in fact, he always gives us a second, a third, a tenth, a 50th, a 100th, and more chances, does he not? He still forgives, amen? And because he is amazing, he forgets what we have done. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 14 through 18, here in this scripture it proclaims, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, for whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." Verse 17, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin." Yes, folks, I can stand up here behind this pulpit. I could stand down there amongst you, or I could be outside. I can definitely proclaim that he is absolutely wonderful. We serve an awesome God. I know the saying, God is good all the time God is good. In my opinion, God is beyond good, God is great. That's my opinion. So once again, what are you doing for him? It is true, many believe that their uplifted prayers are for God. Many amongst you probably believe your uplifted prayers are for God. Although in reality, much of our praying is for us. Not for God, not even for others. Oftentimes, it is more like this. It's more like, Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. Lord, meet this need. Lord, meet this want. See, most of the time our prayers are for wants, not even needs. Usually a prayer for ourselves. Oh, there are those who think that their Bible reading is for God. And yes, reading his word can guide us in the direction that he wants, but being honest here, most of our reading is once again for us, and not for his plans. Too many are reading it to hear from God. Too many are not reading it to hear from God and allow his spirit to sway and direct their hearts. Oftentimes, we just open up the Bible to whatever passage comes up, and oh, we're done with our daily reading. Well, here's another aspect to think about. Attending church. Oh, yes. Unfortunately, this routine is also generally for us. Sadly, in too many cases, the reason for attendance is not for the Word of God, but it's for fellowship. It's for the food in the back. It's for guilt or for obtaining interesting Bible facts. To be very transparent here, attendance should really be to hear what God has laid on the pastor's heart, in turn speaking to our hearts, or at a minimum to learn how we can be of further use to him, to further use to our Heavenly Father. Unfortunately, too many think the above deeds are for God. But if the intent for doing them is not for the right reasons, then quite frankly, they are usually not for God. So once again, church, the question is presented. What are you really doing for God? Maybe I should have asked this question first. Why do you want to do something for him? Is it because you are trying to earn your way to heaven in an attempt to trick him into letting you in? Oh, my friends, there is no way anyone can earn their way to heaven. I mean, we all should remember these familiar verses from Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if that is your reason for doing something for God, then it is the wrong reason. If you're trying to serve him because you did something bad, now, I know my lovely wife wouldn't do anything bad, but the rest of you now, see, she's look at that halo she's got. Look, it's right there. It's glows. Huh? I'm getting some brownie points for later. I might get dinner later. I might get a ride home. Love it. If you're trying to serve him because you did something bad and you are hoping that a good deed will cover up the sin and hoping that he will forget about it, well, that also is the wrong reason. For many people, good deeds are done for the wrong reason. If you have been saved by trusting in what Christ has done for you when he gave his life for your sins on the cross and just want to serve and please him because he has done so much for you, then that is the right reason. Gratitude and love should be the motivation, not guilt or a peace offering. If you are not saved or you are wanting to serve God for the wrong reasons, then honestly, if you think of everything that I've said so far, you're wasting your time. But please allow me just a few more minutes of your time so that I may share with you three simple things. Three, they will go quick. Three simple things that all of us can do for God. And the first thing that we can do for God is to trust. Simple. Trust. Trust him by faith. Sounds simple, and it really is, but too many add all kinds of baggage to their faith. A pure faith is what a little child follows when they obey their parents. They believe that it is cold outside because you know what? Mommy said so. They believe that eating onions are good for them. Because daddy says so, even though they may not like them. Now, I love onions. I used to eat them like an apple. And I love onions. I got at least one amen out of that. You know, if mom says the sky is green, and most of everybody in here is either had little kids or been around little kids. So it's not even if it's mom says, but if mom says that the sky is green, they will believe it because you know what? Mommy said so. Mommy probably needs to get her eyes checked, but it's okay. I oftentimes during invitation will say, you need to have that childlike faith, that childlike trust. That is the kind of faith that our Heavenly Father desires from us. And I do, I love to be around young Christians who have the attitude that, you know, if you show me in the Bible what God wants me to do it, I'll just do it. You know, those young Christians that just get on fire and you show them something, they just want to go out and do it. And that is the same kind of unwavering faith that God wants us to have. You show me, or you tell me, and I will do it for the rest of my life. But with that said, for many, their faith starts out like the child I mentioned earlier, but soon, however, you know, they kind of get older, they grow up, and they think now that they are smarter than all of us. Ah, Mom, it's not really cold outside. You know, they went from bundling up in that jacket to running out there with their short sleeve shirts. There's no way that I'm eating those onions. That was our daughter. Are you nuts, Mom? The sky is not green. There's something wrong with your eyes. You know what? For that child and for so many young Christians that start to mature, their faith changed. It is the same mommy and daddy. But some educated excuses have entered into the picture. These same excuses enter into too many people's faith, and we hear them all the time. You know, things like, I do not see God, so I cannot believe in him. Although they probably did when they were younger. Oh, I can't believe that old book. It was written by some old men a long time ago. Oh, God cannot still preserve his word for me today. Here's a good one. Those rules were for then. This is now. I can't believe that God could send someone to hell. And on, the educated excuses fly, and not one of those people that use those excuses will ever please God with their lack of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Here's another good one, obedience. Obedience is the second thing we can do for God. Obedience. You know, all he wants is for us to obey what he tells us to do. That is what the scriptures are for, to show us what we are to do. And you know, when we read in here that lying is wrong, well, then stop lying. When the preaching from the Word of God reminds us of our pride or gossiping or filthy language or other sins, then you know what? Stop them. Well, you may defend, it is too difficult to just stop. As a pastor, I've heard that time and time again. It's just too difficult to stop. You know, folks, I said this morning, I'm a blunt preacher. Quit with the excuses. Yeah. Knock it off. Because it is not too difficult. If you are practicing obedience to God and do not let the educated excuses dirty up your obedience, then don't let the educated excuses dirty up your obedience. You know, here's some of those educated excuses. Tithe? Not me. I can't afford it. Or that's not for today. How many times have we heard that one? Church? I have to go to work on Sunday. I have to work Wednesday night. Witness to others? Invite them to church? Well, that's not my gift. You know, think about it. If every one of us said, that's not my gift, who's gonna spread the good news? Stop swearing? Well, all my coworkers do it. On and on the list of excuses can go. And the truth of the matter is this: not doing what the scriptures say to do is pure disobedience. And that person will not be doing what they are supposed to be doing for God. However, there are many through the ages that have done what God has told them. You know what? It was hard for those that are doing what they are supposed to be doing. It was hard for them to tithe. All of us have gone through hard times. Got that bill in the mail and here you got to give your 10%, and I believe in a 10% tithe, and you got to give that to God. Well, how am I going to pay that bill? But it's amazing how God works when you're obedient. Amen. Go soul winning. You know, they had to attend church, although they had a work schedule. And all the other things that so many tried to excuse their way out of. The difference between them and the excuse makers is that obedience to God was important to them. And they did obey what they were shown or told. Look, early in my faith, I've said this time and time again. I wasn't obedient. I'd go to Sunday morning, an occasional Sunday night. Or I'd go to Sunday night and an occasional Sunday morning. It just depended on when the football game that I wanted to watch was on. Wednesday nights, I was never going to go. It's amazing what happens when God gets a hold of you and grips that heart. Because now it's hard to stay out of church, amen? When one is obedient, all the things that God wants them to do, you know what? They're done. Then they will give. They will teach. I'd just been saved in 2008, and I remember Pastor Howard. Pastor Howard was about 6'4", 6'5", taller than me. He came to me. I was just saved. He said, "Kevin, I need to see you in my office." Now, I'm a new Christian. I said, "Man, what did I do? I already messed up in my faith. I'm in trouble. I got to go to the pastor's office." I walked in there, and I'm telling you, I got saved in July, so it was the start of the new school year, basically. "I want you to teach first grade Sunday school." Now, I was totally different back in those days. I was the old Marine. I did not really, you weren't going to hug me, much less shake my hand. You had to come to me. I wasn't going to go to you. I was very standoffish. Some things I still kind of relate to, but I'm just an old Marine. And I looked at him, I said, are you nuts? You want me with those first grade kids? Now, most of the students wouldn't relate to them because when we see the first graders and kindergartners and such now, they all love me. I don't know why. Maybe I bribe them with the candy or something. Well, a year later, I'm sitting in the auditorium and he comes up to me and he says, "Hey, Kevin, I need to see you in my office." I said, "Well, what parent did I make mad? And I really promise, I've been trying my best. I want you to pray about being the Sunday school superintendent for the primary department." Primary department was K-5 through 6th grade. We ran 180 kids back then. I looked at him again, shook my head. I said, "Are you crazy?" But you know what? I did it. I did it because I wanted to be obedient to God. And he led me that heart to want to teach. And in those early days, and really I don't know much about the Bible now to tell you the truth, because I learned something new every day. But I really didn't know anything about the Bible then. I had to study hard just to prepare a Sunday school lesson for kids. When you're obedient, things will get done. I went through, and then, of course, I graduated with my degree in Bible, and I didn't wait around for somebody to say, "Oh, hey, why don't you go do this?" The day that I graduated, I looked at April, I said, we need to either rent or sell our house. We need to sell our possessions. I want to start an RV park ministry. And that's what we did. That's exactly what we did. We started an RV park ministry right out of Bible college. There was an atheist three doors down from where I was holding the service, and she complained, and the RV park actually took her side, and we had to stop our service in that clubhouse. We moved it to our place, and then eventually we moved out of there because we actually were living in that RV park, and I would tell you what, I was upset. I was discouraged. I went to Pastor Armstrong. I said, I don't know what to do. He goes, I want you to pray about being ordained and pray about your next step. And that's when I really knew that God was calling me to pastor. I happened to put a message out on Facebook, hey, I'm seeking a church. 15 minutes after I posted that, I had a message, hey, give me a call when you have a chance. And it was, many of you probably know Tom Williams. It was Tom Williams who had called me from Community Baptist Church and asked me to come out here and candidate, and that's how I ended up in Texas. But you know what? When you're obedient to God, things will get done. Other things like helping others. You know, we have the care ministry going on, helping others. Praying. Reading your Bibles. You know, I remember the early days. I'd pick up my Bible for a couple minutes each day. Now I pick it up throughout the whole day. Attending church, serving in ministry, and just other things that God wants them to do. Listen to a couple of verses here. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. James chapter 2, verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Romans chapter 5, verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Amen. We're already, look, it's only 10 after 7, you'll still get to your dinner here pretty soon. The third thing that we can do for God is to be loyal and faithful to him. Denying our faith when in the world is not being loyal. When you're out there outside of these church doors and you're denying your faith, that is not being loyal. Sometimes we don't outwardly deny it with our voices, but we sure try to hide the fact that we might be Christians. You know, we'll be sitting in that restaurant and we don't want to be disturbed when we're having, well, some, you guys look rich, so you probably having steaks, so I'm having peanut butter and jelly. You know, you're out in the store and you don't want to be bothered. You might not say, hey, I'm not a Christian, but you might hide it. That's not being faithful. That's not being loyal. Nor is it being loyal when we do not say something when God is mocked in our presence. How many of us have been around somebody and somebody has mocked the Heavenly Father in our presence and we've just sat there and not said a peep? Or when his principles are scoffed at. You know, folks, nothing else tonight. Get this. He is a faithful friend to us. He is a faithful friend to us, and we need to remain true and loyal to him. Remaining true to the Lord includes not letting other things separate us from him. How do you feel when a person whom you regard as a friend turns on you when you're not around? How do you feel when that happens? Now equate that to how God might feel. Because I would imagine that it breaks your heart when you hear that they are gossiping or ridiculing you when you're not around. I imagine it would break your heart. And I would imagine that it breaks God's heart when we do it to him. But here's the thing, God is always around. You ain't hiding anything from him. And he knows whether you're being loyal or not. As we prepare to close, what can we do for God, or what we can do for God is have 100% faith in him. 100%. I like to say, you know, we don't see him physically sitting there. We don't get to smell him or touch him or feel him. But we can know right here 100% who God is, that he's true. And I'm so thankful I serve a living God. I'm so thankful that tomb is empty. And we can have 100% faith in him, and we can obey all he shows and tells us to do. We can obey his word. He lines it out for us. And we can be a faithful, loyal friend to him. He's a faithful, loyal friend to us. We can return that favor to him. Because, my friends, he has done so much for you and me, and for so many others around this world. Let me ask you this. How can we do anything less for him? So I'm going to ask you again tonight. What are you doing for God? Tonight, if you have to say nothing, if you're sitting there just saying nothing, or what I thought I was doing for him was for the wrong reasons, then hopefully you desire to change that. If you are a child of God, then you should want to do something for your Heavenly Father. You should have that desire. And you should want to do it for the right reasons. I'd like to close with this quote. I oftentimes use quotes in my messages. This quote, I don't know who wrote it, but it says this: the church is a workshop, not a dormitory, and every Christian man and woman is bound to help in the common cause. It's a pretty good quote. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. We'll have Miss Christie come up, play some music. As we prepare for the invitation, I'm going to again ask you, and I know it's been repetitive, but let me ask you, what have you done for God? What have you done for God? You know, the first thing, I mentioned this, that we can do for God is to trust. Trust him by faith. Obedience is the second thing that we can do for him. All he wants is for us to obey what he tells us to do. And the third thing that we can do for God is to be loyal and faithful to him. And be reminded that denying our faith when the world is not in the world is not being loyal. Nor is it being loyal when we do not say something when God is mocked in our presence or his principles are scoffed at. The music's playing, and I want to remind us, he is a faithful friend to us. And I do hope that we remain true and loyal to him. If you would, let's open up our hearts as the music plays quietly. Why don't we go ahead and stand? Our heads are still bowed and our eyes are still closed. Let's open up this altar and let's give a few minutes here for people to respond.